another world. Anticipation, 'cause here it comes again. You see, no matter where you are, it could be near or far, but it still feels like Christmas time to me.
Does sound like he says that.
I have another one that he says too, though.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
I'm Tom.
Welcome to episode
100. So this is where me and you hit our Darth Maul Qui-Gon Jinn level duel of fates.
Okay. Is that what we do?
When you do the abbreviation for the episode,
yes.
How do you do it?
Oh, I do 00, I guess, right?
You do A2G. Yeah, yes. Two digit. I've always done A2G, 3 digits.
Okay.
Because I knew we would hit 3 digits.
So,
and now you have to.
So you avoided formats. Y2K, is what you thought.
Yes, congratulations.
A2G.
Call me Skynet.
I'm going to confess something, not to kill the vibe of the episode.
Oh, here we go.
I don't get into birthdays, anniversaries.
Because you're cheap.
That is probably it, honestly.
Like, I'm not trying to give gifts.
I'm not into Valentine's Day. That's a corporate holiday.
Come on, babe.
So, but I'm happy to be here with you fellas. Let's do some quick ad reads and get into the meat of this fucking episode.
Yeah, we got special stuff planned. It won't be 100. It'll be a time after now.
Okay.
Let's start with our buddies, Run for Cover Records. Hey, guess what? That's my read.
Okay, read that.
Go to runforcoverrecords.com, enter the promo code.
Axe to Grind.
You're going to want to
spell it out.
And today I'm recommending, we're digging back because it is
an anniversary of sorts. Yeah.
Happy birthday, my son, as HR would say. I'm recommending, I had it pulled up. I'm recommending the Tiger's Jaw. Yes. Self-titled record.
Oh.
It's got the pizza on the cover. It is.
I think that's Old Forge pizza?
I don't know. There's a lot of good pizza up in that area. So I'm recommending this one because it wasn't my introduction to Tiger's Jaw. My introduction was the EP they did.
I'm a Spirit Desire man.
Spirit Desire, exactly. And
this is my introduction.
I loved it, but this record is fantastic. I think that Tiger's Jaw is a band that, man, if you had told me when I heard that record, like, hey, in 10 plus years, they are going to still be a band, have done several albums, and be a really successful
band. They're bigger now than they were then.
Yeah.
By a long shot.
I would believe that if they were still around, they'd be bigger. But it's just amazing to see the growth and that these songs still have resonance. And I think that people still really like them. And guess what? There's a part of me that thinks there's a lot of people who still have missed out on this.
Yeah.
So check it out. It's mellow, but not too mellow. It rocks in that way that I think a lot of that, the initial record stuff that was not hardcore rock. What was the label from Kansas?
Second Nature? No.
The Get Up Kids. No, it's...
From Kansas.
Is it Kansas? I thought there was a label from Kansas. Yeah.
Are you thinking of that Omaha shit?
That Omaha shit. What is that? Yeah, what is Omaha?
Saddle Creek.
Saddle Creek. It's somewhere between Initial and Saddle Creek. It's not full-blown indie.
Yeah, you're right.
It's aggressive.
It's like that pushing me away because you feel we're all the same. That's a... What about your friends?
Oh,
Tell us one Tiger Jaws.
Better when I do it, huh?
Tell us one Tiger Jaws tour story that you have not shared before.
Oh, you know I'm not good at memory things.
I know.
I'm not good at memories.
I'm not good at memories.
They cost too much. Hence part of the anniversary thing.
It costs too much. You know what? I'd have to really reflect.
All right. Reflect at the time after now.
Yeah.
But think about it. See if you can get it by the end of the episode. So I recommend you go pick up the Tiger Jaws self-titled record. They just did the 14th anniversary of Tiger Jaws 2 Worlds, which is also a very cool record, kind of underrated. But I'm telling you, go pick up the slice of pizza first.
I'm sorry, 14?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that a...
It's the new number. It's like... It's a quinceañera. It's a...
Okay.
Quarenta.
Okay, you know, fuck it.
Sierra.
Shout out to Run for Cover.
Have been huge supporters from almost the very jump. Yeah. And, you know...
Catch Tiger Jaws out there. They're out on tour with the Menzingers right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no shit.
Culture Abuse, Tiger Jaws, Menzingers, I think is the tour.
Damn. I like it. All right.
It's a good gig.
To our next sponsor, Death Wish Inc.
That's me.
That's you.
Since we're going back into the archives, one of my favorite Death Wish recordings, and like I said before, always a label that I wish I was on. So... Trey, Jake, you know, it's never too late.
Gotta get that new project going.
Never too late. I'm going to go for Blacklisted, Heavier Than Heaven, Heavier Than Heaven, Lonelier Than God.
What a record.
I think it's fucking awesome. I think it's a perfect hardcore record.
The best hardcore record from Philadelphia ever.
Yes. I think if I continue talking about it all the time on this podcast, the band Blacklisted, perhaps I can get like a 19-year-old to check out Blacklisted.
I don't think so.
No.
But I think Tom talking about why it's one of his favorite records.
Might do it.
Or, well, why it's one of his favorite Death Wish releases will help a little more.
All right, let's do it.
They might be deaf of you. Deaf of you. You can use that. That's an album title.
Yeah. Although now I'm looking.
Are you No One Deserves?
I don't know if I like No One Deserves better.
I love No One Deserves.
I think that might be my go-to. I'm going to change my pick. No One Deserves to be here more than me.
Okay. And you picked that because...
We were talking about on the Patreon episode when we were doing our top tens that like raw kind of feeling that one band that you mentioned, like the lyrics and stuff that person was bringing.
Oh yes,
I feel like with this, it's the same kind of idea. It's like I shouldn't be reading this.
I think that's
somebody's
the
journal.
That's the strength. That's the step from Heavier Than Heaven to No One Deserves. Is No One Deserves feels more unadulterated and like lyrically it's not NC-17 because of the rawness. There's no, it's like the little things they say with the rating.
Yeah. Sure.
There's no nudity, no crudeness, no, you know, violence, but it's like a violence of mind and how honest and raw it is. It's almost too real for many. It's the opposite. No One Deserves to Be Here More Than Me is the lyrical inversion of That Ain't Real Much, because this is maybe too real.
Yeah, it's real. It's real much.
Real much.
Yeah, I'm going for it. Now that I'm looking at the track listings.
It's a hot record.
I'm Heavier Than Heaven.
Oh,
but
man.
This is a good record.
Yeah, this might be fantastic, my favorite Blacklisted.
So you're going to go to deathwishinc.com, enter the promo code.
Axe to Grind.
You going to want to?
Spell it out.
Boom. Let's take a
upstate trip as Mobb Deep says.
I love it. I love this. We're gonna do the upstate trip. We're gonna do the Sea Streak Fall Foliage cruise up the Hudson.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't think it gets us. It doesn't even get us to Hudson. But
we're not going from Boston.
We're going up the Hudson. Yeah, we're not gonna.
Oh, because I was hoping he would sing.
Oh, last night on the Mass Pike.
That was your best one yet.
Was that good? All right. Fine. Well. I think I've mentioned before that repeatedly one of the...
Closed Casket Activities.
Closed Casket Activities. One of the best train rides in the world is from New York City to Montreal during fall foliage.
Oh, yeah.
That's considered... Isn't that interesting? Considered one of the top five rail trips in the world.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
And they have like an open, like a glass ceiling.
Viewing car, yeah.
Huh.
I mean,
people want to see Cohoes that much, huh?
Totally fucking boring to you and I, because it's like, oh, deciduous forest in the fucking fall just reminds me that I'm going to have to fucking be in slush soon.
Yeah, fuck. But Black March snow.
At any rate, closed casket activities. Purveyors of heavy music for a long minute now, maybe longer than some of you realize. I'm going to go with a classic, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go far afield. I'm going to go with one of the records that made the label.
Yes.
And that is In Love, There Is No Law by Twitching Tongues. Mm. Now, Twitching Tongues has not played a ton of shows the last year, right?
Yep.
Maybe two. So if you weren't a fan, you haven't been exposed anytime recently, there's very possible, right?
Right.
And if you're hella young, also very possible you haven't been exposed.
Or not exposed to this material.
Yes. This record was fucking on fire when it came out and got this band fans in quarters of hardcore that you would never anticipate being game for this. And
I can see that.
Yeah, and part of the reason I thought was it was just a fucking full of bold decisions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
but it was reined in a little bit that it wasn't too bold for people.
Yeah, no, it's not total turnoff shit, but it's, this is a lot of people's favorite Twitching Tongues material. Yeah. And I think that it is...
might be mine.
Yeah?
Mine, for sure.
Yeah? Okay.
I think in the same way that we spoke highly of the lyrical raw touch test of Blacklisted, this record can be pretty raw.
Mm.
Those lyrics are pretty wild.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple of personal ones that are of a highly specific nature.
Yes.
And they're effective. This record really put Closed Casket into a different space. This, along with one of the Harm's Way records, I want to say Isolation.
Yeah, I was gonna
say it's Isolation.
Really kind of like kicked things into high gear for the label. So shout out to both those bands. But this release, In Love, There Is No Law, you should all check it out.
And we're going to go to closedcasketactivities.com, enter the promo code
Axe to Grind.
And all three, you're going to want to
spell it out.
There you go. Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody who supported us. We're not going to dwell too much on the anniversary shit because, yo, it's the end of the year.
Yeah.
And another one's coming.
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, chup-chup-pow.
Well, yeah, well, that's a little bit of a lyrical reference, everybody.
Yeah.
I had a band named after an Embrace song for 10 years, and I regretted every waking moment.
You know what? I can't believe another year's gone by.
It's still nothing.
Yeah. So
as if we don't even try.
Let's get into the shits.
So, yo, I said it on an episode that if you are a Patreon subscriber, you've heard it's our top 10 lists. We did it. We didn't do it begrudgingly. We enjoy the shit because we enjoy music.
It's actually a really fun conversation.
Super fun one. Because it's what we do here. But the list thing is breaking our brains.
I'm seeing too many whack lists also.
Some whack lists, and also I think people who are...
Whack-listed?
Whack-listed. I think people are making lists to make lists, as opposed to, oh, let me think about what I really love this year and share my passion for that shit. It's, let me throw some names down. Here it is. Here are the 10 records that I like. And, you know, we don't like that energy. What we are about is the idea of, let's try to give some shine to that shit that really matters, that we really like.
It's the equivalent of being like, you have a venue that needs a big show rather than having a big show that needs a big venue.
Mm.
Right.
Like, you feel you have to write these fucking lists and, like, maybe correct. There's only 6 good records.
Yo,
yeah.
There's,
you're going to fight to get to 10.
Anyone who books shows ever, if you don't know this now, you should fucking dig it into your head. You never book a show to fill a venue. You pick the venue for the show.
Right.
When you end up booking a show to fill the venue, you fucking lose every time.
Every
it
time.
Sucks. It's yeah. not fun.
Casino's taking your money that night.
I stole that from wrestling.
There you go.
Jim Cornette said that.
Yeah, so,
Jim Cornette's not.
So that said, if you want to hear us do 10-ish records that we liked this year, you'll hear it. That's over on the Patreon. We enjoyed it. But we wanted to take the same energy as shit that we've talked about, where we want to focus that light in on a few things that we think will be a little more longstanding.
Let's say 11, because I learned the other day that testing groups indicate that odd numbered lists are sexier to click on. Isn't that interesting?
Is that why Taylor always has odd numbers on his records?
Always odd? No, he only does 10. Or he'll only do, he won't evens? Do odds. He won't do odds.
Oh, I thought he just did odds. Evens.
No, won't do odds. I mean, I'm sure he will if it's some even fucking
weighted. Yeah, interesting.
Group of like hard men that are looking at him being like
we're doing 11.
We're doing whatever we fucking want. But
a group of hard men.
A group of hard men.
That sounds like a clever, like...
That's in my search history.
It's a, yeah. One, it's a really good X video.
Yep.
And two, it's a good, clever, hardcore band name.
That's a porn I wouldn't turn off. You know what I'm saying?
Are you going to the AGAM show today? So in that spirit of saying, like, let's talk about what really matters, we're going to talk about the records that we think came out in 2019 that we could see ourselves listening to in 3 years, in 5 years, in 10 years, that we will be listening to for years to come. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
Let's address first and foremost, this is fucking hard this year.
Really hard.
And this is going to be us talking frankly, not disrespectfully,
no,
but frankly about the fact that we really liked a lot of your records. But did
more than could fit
them
on a top 10 list. Yeah. We love them.
We could have made 25 records that we all thought were fucking good hardcore records.
In 2019, which is wild.
And yeah, that's actually fucking awesome.
Yeah, between the three of us, we probably could have come up with a really solid list of 75, so 25 per person, that we wouldn't dispute are like of quality.
Yes.
You know?
And that's remarkable. Easily. And I'm happy that hardcore is there. But same, as we've discussed a little bit, where are the fucking hits, fam? I want the Dwarf song. Nothing but hits, bitch. Nothing but hits. You know what I mean? Like,
Patrick with the Dwarves references. It's one of our best 2019 revelations.
I just picture that in a used bin at every record store I've ever been on. It's a woman covered in blood.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's a cool cover. Tom.
Yeah.
2018. So a year ago. Give me a couple records that you can see yourself listening to for years to come.
Excalibur.
Mind Force Excalibur.
Mind Force. I would definitely be listening to Fiddlehead.
Springtime and Blind.
What else did I love?
For me, Turnstile, Time and Space,
yeah. Yeah.
Those are three records that I named right off the top that I'm like, yo, these are longstanding.
100%.
Year before that, I think the Power Trip, Nightmare Logic.
Yep.
For sure.
I'll listen to that for a long time.
I think 1,000 Mile Stair was on there. Incendiary.
Mid-2017, 16. So yeah, if you like this, what I would say, that Mosh Madness tournament ended up being quite a few records that would fall into this category. As we, when we listened, we're like, oh shit, yeah, these have some staying power. This year, kind of a different feel. And I actually saw a lot of comments about this. And it reflects sort of what we talked about a few episodes ago, where I think Tom's request was well put and said, I just want there to be less, more space for great music.
It's equivalent,
less stuff coming out.
Right. It's equivalent, like, I always joke with my friends, like, you will go for 3 weeks to a month with nothing. And then one weekend, it'll be like, oh, cool, there's like five things I would have done.
Yep.
So either you get option paralysis and you do none.
Yep.
Or you pick something and go, fuck, I should have went to that other thing. Or, but then there'll be a fat, you know, like, there'll be nothing.
Yeah.
For three. But I think that's the same kind of thing. With this, it's kind of like
Feast or Famine.
It's been like a record for a minute. And then it's like, oh, there's like six records out this week. Fuck.
Right.
And if like they don't, and it's no real kind of reflection of the quality. It's just there's so much stuff. And I feel like there's nobody, how like you hear about people that are like, how the fuck do you both book hardcore shows in the same city on the same day?
Right.
I feel like labels need to have that kind of talk. And be like, oh, you're putting this out on, you know, February 7th? Bet. All right, I'm going to do February 21st.
Sure.
And then you're going to do the, like,
you could try. You would hope that there'd be a little bit more communication there.
There's not that many labels.
Well, that are putting that's a different question, too. That's a really good one. A conversation I had today with someone about how competition in the marketplace makes things better.
How'd that question pop up?
You never know. So here's the great, great ride. The label thing too. There should be more great labels.
Yeah. And there are.
No, there are, and there's ones that are up and coming, and that's where I would say I would do some lists. Like, there's some really cool up and coming shit. So, with this, the idea being, let's shine a light on things that we really liked This year was different for me. I saw a lot of stuff that I was like, oh, this is hinting at stuff. This is a cool EP. I really like this. But it's hard for me to put Okulu Half Alive. Those are two great songs.
Yes. It would have to be a fiver for us, to sit around and go,
say, yeah, I'm going to be listening to this. Just, you know, will I listen to all of the Okulu material that's recorded at some point in the next? Yeah, definitely. That's going to last. But it's not enough to be like, hey, this record is a laster. This is something that if we do the Mosh Madness redux of the 2010s, some of these slide in there, you know?
I also think that there's always the chance that something really small, like a two-song or a single sort of situation, is squeaks in on a legendary status if somebody breaks up or if there's...
Shelter 7-inch. They'll ask you to say 7-inch.
It can always happen, you know what I mean? And to be honest, I think these Okulu songs are good enough that people could definitely fucking, like, kids in particular could revisit this in 10 years and go, yo, this band was fucking fire.
So we're going to put as our first entry here then, let's discuss this. I think our first entry should be the Okulu material.
Okay.
Which is the
two song half-live. One came out last year, but who cares?
And the other one came out last year, but you know, it's not one we're talking. We're going to group it all together. I think it's about six songs then.
It might be five.
Yeah.
Maybe six.
I think it's four and then... Oh, it might be
five. Is it four?
It might be.
The new one's three.
The new one's two.
No, I think it's three.
Is it three? Oh, but it's one of the songs. Oh,
Am I wrong?
You might be wrong. Let's look it up. But yo, so here's, this is what my brain spaced a little bit.
Oh, no, you're right. It's two.
Yeah. My brain spaced a little bit. Here's the difference of a long time ago. If there was a really hot record that came out in 1998, Tom, I'd be like, yo, you got to hear this band Jumpsuit. You know, name's kind of wacky, but the fucking record is awesome. You got to check it out. You're going to the record store, and if you see it and you're peaked enough, you might buy it. Now, you don't have to buy it to listen to it. I don't have to tape it for you or play it for you. You just click play.
Yeah, you hit something on your phone and it plays the whole thing.
So we all now are under this paralysis. I liked your option paralysis comment, but we're all under this paralysis of accessibility, where we have access to everything. And so even in our episode where we did a top 10 list, Patrick said, made some compelling arguments, and I'm like, oh man, I should go revisit those Torch records, those mid-era. I don't know if I've even really listened to them. All three of us have mentioned different things like, oh, I'm going to go and listen to that and give that a fair listen. That's a very modern sensibility because we have the access to it to just give it a listen.
Yeah.
You know, and that's probably pretty similar to 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you could have illegally downloaded everything and figured out your way around it, but there was more work to it.
Saddam 518 had a sick folder.
There were days where me and Patrick sat in our apartment and just downloaded music for like 8 or 9 hours.
We partied.
Yeah.
You boys have come a long way.
Watch bootleg fucking cable. We had cable in that house somehow.
Is that true?
Yeah, because we'd watch Yankees games. There was nothing good on TV, but I think it was jacked from downstairs.
I think it's honestly Paul paid for it because he wanted to watch Islanders games.
He did pay for it.
I think that's actually what it is.
That's right, because I remember at some point I actually had money and was like, do you want any money? He's like, no, nah, man, don't.
He was very committed to the Islanders that year. Like Mets Islanders, I think he was he paid exclusively for cable for one of those, whatever it was.
So good. Shout out, Paul. But so I think the fact that we can access it, we all collectively are like, oh, I should at least listen to this, and then you end up with a list of things that you should be listening to.
Right, you're not sitting down with like,
I love this record, I'm listening to this for the next 3 weeks till it's fucking smeared all over my face.
Right, there's no record you're sitting down with and like looking at the photos or like reading lyrics or kind of whatever. And I think it's like, you know, if you're like, I have Spotify, I have fucking whatever, you go, I mean, I could listen to this again, or I could just go back to the old reliable that I know that I love. So it's like, why wouldn't, you know what I mean? Like, I could listen to fucking, you know, Magnitude 6 times.
Right.
I go back to through this and this Defiance and just listen to, you know what I mean? Right. Whatever.
Well, like, so that was the, and
things that were more in your
when you had it for a certain amount of time. When I was younger and listening to music was something I still like to do. Just as I do now, I used to rotate all the CDs in my CD book, take out all the ones I liked and put in whatever new shit I had. And it forced me to go, I have a finite selection of choice here, and it's going to make me listen to stuff over and over and different stuff. And that was fantastic.
Because it makes a click if it, or it doesn't.
Or it doesn't. And it ends up being the shit. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really like this that much.
And you frisbee it out the window. By the way, 35.
Right. Cool. Great. Cruising down Highway 9. Steel cages and all that.
I listened to two comedians today on a podcast talk about
a car getting coffee.
Hans and Andrew Crossgate Small.
I think it was Andrew Santino.
That guy's a dead tooth.
What's that?
The guy with a dead tooth.
Andrew Santino.
Yeah, they make fun of him for having a dead tooth on the league.
Red hair guy. So he's kind of
dead tooth McGruff.
Kind of smarmy. He's sort of a dick, but good with a guest because he's fast. So anyway. They're talking about one of their cars got stolen when they were in college. And they said, and he said, oh, it was tragic. 100 CD booklet. And he goes, oh, shit. Doggy style. He goes, 100%. All eyes on me. He's like, definitely.
Yep.
He's like, and he's
going through and trying to pick what he had in the booklet.
Because they're roughly the same age. And he's going, Pearl Jam, which ones? And he's like, Vitalogy. And,
10.
But here's what was interesting about it. Those men, I'm sure, like all of those songs still, right? You play any of that for? The one guy was like, "Let me give you a curveball, Blues Traveler 4," and the other guy was like, "A staple, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Of course.
Like, come on,
run around. Are you kidding me?"
And all of these, everybody, were legitimate. Like for normies that liked guitar music, this was inescapable.
Yes.
Now, here's what
Everclear. Of course,
they named it.
Yes. Yeah, I know. The first Foo Fighters. Yeah,
No doubt. Tragic Kingdom.
Yeah. Yes.
So, everybody, here's what it did for me.
Walking in the spider webs. I'll never hear that song the same way again after you gave me that info.
It made me think about these men who love those songs, not taking anything away from them. This is a totally valid relationship with music, who are not seeking out new music at all.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it struck
me. They're just trying to pop in fucking Stone Temple Pilots.
Yes.
Fucking,
That was from the time when they were checking out music.
Right.
Yeah.
But and you can hear the passion they have for that.
For like
music.
Blind Melon, you know what I mean? Like things that are like second string.
Yeah.
But it's still meaningful
for
them.
Shannon Hoon.
It's still RIP. It's still meaningful for them, whatever. But it occurred to me that I do not want that relationship with music at all. No judgment, you know, fuck it. But like I'm happy to be checking out new shit.
Me too.
That said.
Yeah, let's flip the pendulum the other way.
That said, this is my dose of negativity for our episode 100. Ton of good records.
Call you Dose Daddy PK.
I'm dosing you. I'm micro dosing everybody on negativity. Ton of good records.
Something's gone wrong.
Do they go big personality on the next one or no? Is personality coming back or no?
It has to. Because personality is what trumps things, you know, and I hate using the fucking word, but it's what one-ups people. It's what puts other people behind them, and what separates you from a crowd.
Yes.
So
but
here.
Firstly, let's examine my statement.
Yes.
Am I wrong?
I mean, let's examine your statement. Say it again.
A lot of good records. A lot of well-written hardcore records. That anybody who loves hardcore could listen to and enjoy.
And have a really nice year with.
Yep.
Now, which of these records stands out and why, to me, comes down often to personality.
Correct. You've phrased it in a much better way this time, yes.
So, do we see more personality out of releases next year?
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting.
I think we do because I think we got a lot of EPs and stuff. And the one part where I think you have to show personality is in... If you're going to do a full length and it has no personality, you're dead in water.
Oh.
Dead.
I won't mention there is a band that we all like.
Yep.
We don't love, but we like as people and we like their...
Good band.
A good band.
Good dudes.
Who put out an LP that was flat on the personality thing and it went from a thing that everybody was talking about...
Highly competent every other way.
To... what's happened? Like...
What happened?
What
happened?
And that to me, look, and this can happen to anybody because for anybody listening, I've been through every part
of putting out a record and mm-hmm. feeling good about it, feeling bad about it, feeling every part of it. So yes. Everybody needs to get back on the fucking horse if something doesn't go right. That's yeah. it. But talking about it plainly, I want more personality, and I don't think I'm being a baby.
I want to examine this too. I want to go to the other side. So we talked about the conversation about the 1994 CD book.
Yes.
You don't want that relationship with music.
No, I don't want everything to be in the
past.
On
the other side, do you want to be just chasing the dragon of what's new?
Oh, no, I think
there's... Do you want to treat music like it's... Because what I'm seeing is people treating music like a checklist. Treating your days like a countdown. Treating your music listening like a countdown of like, yep, listened. How many... If you only listened to that Lungfish record once...
Yep.
How would you have fucking... How would you have absorbed it?
This is no...
You would not have.
This is no... exaggeration, my life would be different.
Yes. You know what I mean? And that's what people need to understand about music as an art form. When you sit with music, it sits with you.
Yo, take it from, I know you like when I read ads, from my co-host of another podcast, Ian sits.
You already told us with the podcast.
No, he sits with music.
Yeah, I know. And I've gotten the chance to talk with him about music. It's fantastic. I appreciate it.
Like, it's annoying. Like, having been on tour with him many times, it's annoying when it's the Beatles. You know what I mean? But when it's something that like I actually like, it's wonderful to talk to somebody that spent the time. You know,
it's
what I mean?
Pulling
like,
it apart. Yo, like, if you sit with a record. And no one's telling you you have to be listening for this or that. But if you listen to a record, you can spend time in that 2.5 minutes or 1 minute or fucking 30 seconds when it comes to a power violence song
mm-hmm.
and listen to the different parts and listen to all the things different. You can listen to the way the things that are interacting with each other. You can listen to the way that they're hitting you at different times. And that changes your experience with it. And that's the thrust of all of this is to say that no one's telling you there's one way to consume music. It blows my mind how much I see people. What is that fucking the human centipede thing?
Eating butt.
Yes, but like that's how it seems like they're treating music. Is it goes in and goes out and goes into the next and goes out and goes into the next and it there's no sustenance in it. You know,
no.
If you are listening to something once, that's cool. You might like it or you might think it's whatever. But if you get in the habit of not going and really sitting with records, it's one of the things we've identified a few times is that. Man, it'd be nice to, like, I've made a conscious effort over the past 3 months to go sit with older records that I've loved for years but haven't sat with in a while just to feel more comfortable, and it's given me better points of reference when I'm listening to the new shit. You
sure.
know? So.
I also think that a thing that we've talked about, like, some of you may not be articulate people. Nothing wrong with that. Different people got different skills, so you might not be able to adequately explain why you love something. Totally happens, right? Mm-hmm. And also, there's some things that feel ineffable. So, like, if you sit down and you have Indian food for the first time,
mm-hmm.
you might have a difficult time explaining what your experience was, right? And you can have that with music, where you can't explain why you love it so much. You simply love it.
So, this is an exercise I want people to undergo. To test themselves on this, because there's two things. One, what you're saying is dead right. You shouldn't feel a pressure to express it in a clinical way.
That's not a quiz.
I listened to a podcast where there were people speaking about the John Williams Star Wars scores and talking music theory. I took a music theory class once. Holy shit, I forgot all that shit.
Yeah.
It's wild. You're speaking a different language, straight up. It's fascinating to me, but also... For somebody who's uninitiated or who doesn't care, it's gibberish.
Yeah.
Gibberish. Yeah. But the other side is try to describe a smell.
You'd have to know the notes, quote unquote. And so
even if you can't, try to describe it. If you're, let's say you're not, like, what is that smell? What is it making you feel? What is it sensing? That's my hope, is that the way we talk about this. No one in this room is a musical virtuoso in the fact that we don't play instruments, etc.
Tom and I vaguely consider ourselves musicians.
Right. He doesn't consider himself a musician. I take offense to that because you are.
Yeah, he is.
And you should give yourself more credit for it. But.
I appreciate that.
But. We don't speak classically on it, and that's okay. And you don't have to either. To show what you like about something, yo, it could be the way you feel. Anyways, that's a recurring theme. What our point here is, let's talk about some good music. You were wrong and you were right, and I was wrong and I was right. The first Okulu 7-inch is only 3 songs. The second is only 2. So there's there 5 go. Songs. So we're including that in great music. Just real quick, around the room, Tom, you like Okulu a lot too.
I do, yep. Yeah.
Great, I mean, to me, we said this on the Patreon, the most competent of New York hardcore. They're pulling in influences from all over the place. In the past, I think I cited that I heard some Inside Out California stuff in the more melodic parts. I hear some Beyond. I hear Cro-Mags. I hear, you know, I hear thrash metal. I hear some of that.
On the 2 new songs, I really hear thrash.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear thrash metal, both the like more underground stuff and then also like, oh, these dudes know who Metallica is.
Sure.
And are like pulling from that level of quality. And this is something I think people will be listening to for years and years and years. And maybe not just listening to, but also pulling from.
So when something is accessible and also good, people are going to come around again no matter what. You know what I mean? Like, we talk about it all the time. Flipper, legendary band. Anybody pulling from Flipper?
Nope.
Not a living person. You know what I mean?
Not directly, at least.
And that's because there's no tracks there, flat out, right? But if you got tracks,
right?
People are, some fucking 19-year-old in Mizzou.
We'll find it.
Yo, Bob, help me out. Somebody said a city in Michigan that was truly the most ludicrous name I'd ever heard in my life. Can you think of what it might be?
Mackinac City?
No. In that spirit, though. Yeah. I thought it was with an L, but I was like, my mind was blown.
Oh, interesting.
Lansing. Interlochen.
A fantastic guess.
Interlochen.
No, I know your love for Interlochen, but there, yeah. There's... It was... I could not believe... Now,
where are we talking? It's on the Mitt.
Clearly, it's an American Indian name.
Oh, okay.
But it was a collection of...
Not Muskegon.
A collection of vowels I'd never heard before in my life.
Assembled in such a way. All right, we'll figure it out. We'll look.
Lake Minnetonka.
Shockingly, no. So, anyway, sorry to derail. Let's go back. If you got hits... People coming.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to revisit. That's why we can talk all day and all night about kind of the virtues of something like Trapped Under Ice, personality, a kind of a melding of styles that was just so fucking powerful at the time. But here's what's going to keep people coming back. Fucking tracks, my dude.
So, but what makes up tracks are a lot of those elements usually. So we've got competency. We've got... good enough, we'll say, over the threshold of production and stuff that we appreciate. It works for the sound. And then personality. Competency plus personality typically is going to be key components of this. It's not always, because there are bands who are very competent and have a lot of personality, and they end up being an albatross. The band.
Yeah, that's a lot of personality that nobody wants.
And yes. Talent.
Yeah, sure.
But not... I can't think of a single soul who's talked about an albatross in more than a decade.
Let me take it in a more hardcore analog here. Do you think a kid is compelled by Chokehold at all?
No.
No.
No, right? Because there's no tracks there.
No.
Am I wrong?
I don't think there's any tracks.
I was thinking...
Do they have a hit song?
I was thinking about this yesterday. I was like, I'm going to go and revisit the Chokehold discography. I was like...
Right.
And then I was like, my memory of this is that, like, integrity you don't got to love. There's a cult of integrity that I think is maybe unnecessary, mm-hmm. Right?
Might turn people off.
But there's least a couple fucking tracks.
Misha, you remember Misha.
Tracks. You know what I mean? So
you remember Hollow. You remember, yeah.
So, but does anybody, is there
Die Hard.
Is there
tracks.
Is there a Chokehold track?
No.
And therefore, is it possible that it will only be lip service from here on out?
Yes.
Now, I'm not talking to our, this isn't a diss chokehold at all.
Right? You know, and, this is speaking plain. I don't think.
I'm not talking to our listeners who are 40, by the way.
Right, right, right. This is to anyone who's just who's discovering them in a posthumous, non-nostalgia way. No, I don't think there's a chokehold track. If we did a Mosh Madness of the 90s, the bands who are going to win are the bands with tracks.
Yes.
Like, yo, here's the deal. I'm not an Earth Crisis fan, but they've got tracks.
Yeah, they do.
They got tracks. Snapcase got tracks. Yep. Strife got tracks. 108 got tracks. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, all the Los Crudos. Does Los Crudos have tracks?
We've talked about it. I don't know any tracks.
I know
a slogan that is Illegal I think, UK. A song. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Yep. But I know it because the title.
Right. This was, what was your fucking bit? The, I don't know what Grimes is.
I don't know what Grimes is.
What was, there was a bit. It was old man yelling at the clouds.
Oh, but yeah. It was a good bit.
It was a good bit on his Instagram story.
So everybody, there is a Instagram filter that puts you in the Simpsons old man yelling at cloud thing. It's very
and
fun.
I checked in. It was Patrick doing a bunch of, and I was like, oh, this is a good podcast bit. I said it specifically, this is a good podcast bit, because I wasn't sure if it was a good worst possible timeline or.
No, we haven't done.
But it was good. But I don't know if Los Crudos, and I like Los Crudos. I don't know if they have tracks. Like we said, we all would like to like No Escape. I don't think they have tracks.
No tracks.
But Fixation on a Coworker.
Tracks.
That's going to be on Mosh Madness. Oh, 90s. Yeah. You know, if we did that, it would be on there. Please don't fan service one. It would be ugly. Don't fan service Mosh Madness thing. If we feel like it, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for your interest.
Are we going to do one? We going to do it? It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of, I don't know. I'm just the
length of time is the biggest part to do the production on the air.
Length of time. No tracks.
How dare you? You're not allowed back in Belgium.
Think about it.
That Lansing, Michigan hardcore band from 1993. Length of time. No tracks.
So, I think that there's going Akulu is a good example because I think those are tracks.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So,
well, two of them.
So we said we were going to include the three from 2018.
Because there'll be five tracks.
So it'll be five tracks. That's
five track EP.
Let's talk about this year. Let's get right into the heart of this. I am unsure. The One Step Closer record is a maybe for me.
Okay.
It has tracks. The song The Reach is a track. Six songs. Debut EP. I think it could make this list.
Are you hitting back?
On The Reach, yeah. Am I hitting... I haven't given it the dissection that I'd like, that you do when you hit back, like, you know.
Because I've only hit back on really one record. Nah, the Colonial Wound record, I also hit back. Okay, so I've hit back
on... And that's still fresh.
Yes, too. It is. Yeah. It's only like 3 weeks. So I've only hit back going, holy shit, mm-hmm. a couple times this entire year.
Yes. So, okay, you know what, something? This is a funny one because it was an honorable mention on my top 10, but The Ceremony in the Spirit World.
You hit back on that first track.
I hit back on that first track. It's really good. And there's other tracks too, but that is a track that I will be listening to in 5 years.
It's honestly almost a danger to have your first track
that good
be the track.
And it's so dynamic.
You want it to hit, but if it's the track, so it can good. Be almost a problem.
Holy shit. Well, it's also in the modern parlance. It's the hit single. It's the best song. It's the first song because that's the one you want to be played first when you click on a record on streaming.
Yeah.
So, and it, you know, I don't have any insight into the why they actually did that, but, you know, that could be an easy solution. Ceremony didn't make my top 10 from this year. But I'm likely to listen to it more in 5 years, or I could see myself listening to it. Whereas, yo, the Heavy Discipline 7-inch is very good. It made my top 10 of the year. Maybe I'll listen to it in 5 years. But maybe they put out a record that's better, and I like that more next year. Or maybe it just gets to be one of those records that's filed away, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good record. I haven't spun it in a long time. I have hundreds of those.
Yeah, I know. You know? I'm trying to get away from that. Like, I'm trying to... Okay, so here's a question for you. You might, as a person... Okay, Ceremony record. Mm-hmm. You followed their entire career.
I have. And I wouldn't say, as far as the music goes,
that you've always been a fan.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
To be honest, is this heretical? I think Early Ceremony is pretty snoozy to me. You know what I mean?
Live reaction music.
Yes.
And I could see if you were 17 being like, this is
But do you think somebody who hasn't followed Ceremony would have the same response to this new record that you did? Is the track there to that degree?
I think that track is there to that degree. Mm. I think that track is so good that it's like, oh, if you like this kind of music at all, which is kind of like the punk leaning new wave kind of thing, that you could appreciate that song and be like, oh, what is this? I almost feel like you could drop in off it completely fresh, because it, quite honestly, like, it, L-Shaped Man and In the Spirit, with those two records, the last two Ceremony records, feel like they're a very own thing, you know?
I'm sorry for beating up Ceremony, and more questions on this.
No, it's great. I think they're a great band.
How bad is their age hurting them on this new record?
I have no idea.
It's hard to say, but
because the sound appeals to an older demographic.
I don't know, like this whole wave
of stuff, I'm not sure how much young people are really feeling. I think they are. I saw people today really like bopping to this kind of stuff, but I don't know. I mean, do you guys think that this is something that this is the Ceremony record? This is the question we circle around on all these things. Like, I like the last Fucked Up record. I like, you know, it's a really good record. Made my list last year, but we were like, yo, how many 20-year-olds are bopping this?
Okay.
Is Ceremony the same question, or is it a different one?
Yeah. No, I think it's like, this is a
fun... And is this a question you think about for your bands?
Yeah, I just think it's a fundamentally fascinating. Like Touche Amore, mm-hmm. on their Instagram or whatever, they said, "Hey, this has been a great year. We're wrapping up our tour, our final tour of the year. This has been a great year, but it's been a backwards looking year, and we're excited next year. We're going to be doing things to push our band forward." And
recording with Russ Robinson.
To me, mm-hmm. that is exactly what I want.
The problem is you can't do the backward look, and you need to figure that out for yourself, just as a thing.
As a person, I can't do it.
I know, you need to work on it.
But the point is that the point is that if Touche wrote a record of straight fucking fire,
right?
Can they grab a young person? Yes, no.
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think live and stuff, they put on so well that
they're they're great. What I'm saying has nothing to do with...
Well, I mean, I saw them with Turnstile, which is a younger skewing crowd.
Yeah, sure.
And they killed.
Okay.
Killed at Warsaw.
Okay. Because...
And it's youthful music.
I honestly don't know, right? Like,
who's going to see La Dispute?
What's that?
Who goes to see La Dispute?
Okay, so...
Young kids?
I don't know.
And know every fucking word.
I think it's honestly kids that grew up with La Dispute who are now in grad school.
My assumption is that, but I honestly am saying I don't know because I literally don't know.
I don't feel comfortable making
that answer because it's speculation. Now, we have talked about other stuff that's happening and being like, oh, the average age for this special show is well over 30.
Right.
Even though it's all youthful, theoretically youthful music, you know, in sound. And that's the question to me, because I agree. Touche is youthful music.
I feel like that's not a 40-year-old band.
This is a delicate conversation because I don't want to make it sound like Ceremony's cash. I don't want to make it sound like Touche's cash. I'm not saying any shit like that, because mm-hmm. the truth of the matter is, when you have worked as hard as those bands, you have fans. You're not cashed. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I don't anybody read disrespect into this. What I'm trying to say is there a magic number after which you are too fucking old? And I don't mean age. I mean number of releases. I mean...
Longevity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there... And look, we all...
We're a new record. Can your fifth album... be
your best record,
or be well that yeah my answer is yes, but can your fifth album be the record people discover or a new crop of people discover.
Okay, so we've...
Because Touche's... Let's use Touche, because I think they get the energy of our room and know that there's a lot of love for them. And if you don't care about Touche, fill in your favorite band.
Sure.
They're going into writing a new record, looking forward. Is there... How do they make it connect with young people? Tom picked up on one of the primary objectives.
Be dope.
Be dope. Be dope live in a way that makes it undisputable that you're an active, vibrant thing.
The check mark. They got it.
Right. Ceremony checks that too.
Check mark. They got it.
Add some like Post Malone, like, yeah. That's all you need to do.
That's what you need. Okay. What's,
you just
got
to like sing through a pitch shift or whatever. Call that?
Note.
Autocorrect?
I'm taking a note right now.
And I would
autocorrect. What's, is it called autocorrect?
Auto-tune.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do. Jeremy, just toss some of the vocals through the...
It's actually got a new name.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
does it?
Yeah.
Damn, we showing our age here.
SoundCloud.
This is called SoundCloud.
It's a little pump, a little beep.
So here's I think the illusion of youth is a bad thing for an older band.
How do you mean?
I think trying to appeal or doing things that younger bands are doing is a bad
thing. It's embarrassing. Be your age. Bad.
Right. Now, that doesn't mean like that you're 34 means you're fucking, you know, tomb mold. You're not fucking Tutankhamun.
No.
You know, like, You can still be young and vibrant and enjoy that shit. But if you try to, like, hello, fellow kids, that shit's the most obvious shit in
although,
the world.
Although, if you are constantly calling attention to how fucking decrepit you are, that's shit,
even
too.
Worse. Exactly.
That's shit.
It's bad. So, the point being, too, I think I liked one of your things you said.
Just one.
Old, yeah, just better than
half of one.
Just one.
What's worse? The old person who decries and says everything sucks now, or the old person who's like, everything's the best now.
Oh, you mean AKA music journalists?
Well, you know,
because
music—that's a special breed.
Music journalists—it's the fraudiest career in the world, because if you sit around going everything sucks, you have no readership. So basically, your job is to pretend that you're John Peel and on the cusp of everything. But in fact, that's an embarrassing position.
Yes.
You can't pull it off with the dignity that somehow that dude managed. So you just look like the guy who is in his mid-40s chasing SoundCloud rappers because you heard the kids are about it.
So I had this thought. I was like, yo, you know what? When you're young, being cool is a lot of things.
Yeah.
But it's also not a lot of things. There's a lot of things that aren't cool today when you're young. Once you're over 30, you can get away with liking a lot of things, being into a lot of things, doing a lot of things, as long as you're tasteful about it. As long as you're not on some bullshit, loud, yelling. Like, yo, I had a dude today who was like, yeah, my roommate, yeah, he goes to wine tastings. He goes out and does all this stuff. And he was like, it's cool. It's just what he likes. And I'm like, huh, dope for him.
Let me tell you.
Because it was being tasteful about it. And he's not like, yo, if somebody came up to me and was like, yeah, you know, I got real into marble collecting the last couple of years, I'd be like, huh, all right, dope, man. That's cool. As long as he's not wearing the, like, I'm Mr. Marble t-shirt and has some fucking stickers on his car and is also like, got to go to the marble meeting today, guys. Big day at the rig.
Well, I don't even want to get started on some of these fucking dudes out here, but I've recently gotten a call from two bands.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm a guru. I've got very little success in this life, but
Slayer and
yes,
King Diamond.
The guys in Slayer were like, where do we go
do
from
now?
Here?
How do we pivot? Like, how do we age gracefully?
Think about
Patrick.
Rapping. So, both bands have a little bit of heat and are getting offers from labels that are not cool. But that have money. And there's this hard question. Do we sign the contract that is in front of us?
You want money or cred?
That is also good. It's not a scam. Nobody's getting fucked here. This is good money for what we do. And it could be a nice push, you know, labels with resources, etc. And these are grown men who don't have any, they don't have personal hangups about being cool or not cool.
Right, because they're over 30.
Right, exactly right. But also, listen, everybody in the sound of our voice, we do know a couple people, sadly, who are career musicians who still believe in cool.
Ugh.
We do know them.
Ugh.
It's tragic. I'm living in a garage and they're more tragic than I am.
Yeah, that's really tragic.
But for the most part, if you're a career musician, you learn pretty quickly that cool is the most worthless commodity that exists in all of life.
Yes.
Right?
Now, buys you no sandwich at the deli.
Right. But except when you can leverage cool for a something, right? And that's the question that these bands got. Do I go with the shit that is not cool, but this record's going to sound great, mm-hmm. or do I sit on my hands hoping that the people that know how cool we are somehow come up with the money?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, do we hope that the long-term support is there and we can do this, or do we take the money and run?
And it's fucking hard. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that in 2019, the label has been so minimized by Spotify, it's legitimately it's a single line at the bottom of the album, right?
And artists ask, what does a label even do?
Yes. Yeah. And so that's interesting to me. And if that's the truth, if the label, quote unquote, doesn't matter, and many of them don't see themselves as mattering anymore, they're not necessarily in love with building their own brand.
There's many have put themselves out to pasture.
Yeah. Or fallen back in such a way that they're just financing records. They're not.
They might as well be fucking investors.
Right. Keep. Yep. Oh, you don't want our logo on your shit? That would have offended us deeply 10 years ago.
Oh, we would have said no. Take a hike. And now it's like, all right, well, we're still distributing it, so we'll still be making all the money on it. It's fine. That's cool.
Yeah. So with that in mind, I'm inclined. What would you say? I say, probably take the offer in front of you and tour until you prove what you are.
Got the big money offer, Tom.
I take the money. Okay. I mean, you know what? Like, I made that mistake as a kid.
Yeah, you did.
Don't be a fucking idiot.
I don't know. I think in some ways it helped your legacy. Am I wrong? You think that? Wait.
Full transparency.
Yeah, full transparency. Yeah.
After the first record, what were the main hardcore labels in 1997?
Victory, Revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Initial.
Yeah. I mean, well, we
maybe
had two to three.
Like yeah. Right.
EVR would have counted, sure.
Yeah. And, like, we could have went with Victory.
Yep.
They came to, like, romance us. Mm-hmm. Jason Upright came to see us in at the, what was it called?
Glass House?
Public Storage.
Public Storage
pre-Chain
Reaction.
Before it became Chain Reaction. Mm-hmm. And I fell off the stage.
It's a good impression.
And all like these Orange County dudes came because they're like, it must be big. Like, VOD's huge. And they came and like there was like 25 people there.
Mm-hmm.
Story of our lives. But I feel like
Chain Reaction used to be called Public Storage.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a much better name.
I think it was literally like, it was a shitty little. Yeah.
I think it's cool though.
Yeah. But I mean, I think, I wonder how things would have changed at the time. Like, we have any kind of legacy we have is because like we're like, oh man, you almost made it. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a weird, well,
and
there's news,
and there is a certain endearment to people in the postscript that's like, oh man, Indecision is so good, they should have been ten times bigger. And you look back and go, yeah, we could have been.
That would
have
been cool.
Yeah.
That would have been cool to walk into like the local record shop and see our record somewhere.
Well, so like, I thought this was such a good comment because you're unorthodox on Wreckage, right?
Yeah, exit. Same thing.
And Silent Majority, Life of a Spectator is on
Exit with us. Right? Yeah.
And you gave big shout outs to Silent Majority on the Personal Classics episode. And I had a person who was exactly my age, maybe a year older, from California, been going to shows, same amount of time as me, who said, how have I been into this music for this long and I never heard the Silent Majority record? I fucking love this. He discovered it because you pointed it out.
Okay, I take it back. You were definitely fucked. You were definitely fucked.
And that's the part to me.
Victory.
I'm like, yo, this is a dude. He definitely had every Victory record.
Right.
No question. And I think, in fact, he was aware of Indecision, but something like Silent Majority. And I wonder, he just happened to be a little bit more on the hardcore aware side of things. And I wonder about that story for you guys and how much more aware people could have been had your record been on Victory.
Right, and like Silent Majority came out on EVR.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
just that little difference.
Right. Our like little Long Island, New York, certain other places, Atlanta thing might have been a little bit more widespread.
Right.
I mean, at the time, 97... Who the fuck was on, you know what I mean? It was like the biggest of the big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We would have been going on tour with fucking Hatebreed and not just doing Silent Majority, Milhouse, and Indecision every fucking summer for 3 years. And wondering, like, why isn't this getting any better?
Yeah, yeah.
So the question being, should they take the money?
Take the money. Fuck everybody that likes you now. No.
I like
you know
this.
What, though? I think the temperature of the room's so different now, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. I think the judgment's not there.
The judgments are way different because I think people are looking
I mean, that was part
around.
Of our... You know, Justin was like, I want to stay fucking DIY. I don't want to go... Like, yep. To go to, like, Victory, which at the time was a fucking regular... Like, it wasn't like...
Yeah. It wasn't where it would be in 4 years.
Tony's not who... Tony... I mean, he was the same shithead back then, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know... And they're like, no, man, we're staying with Exit. Like, cool, man.
Without telling tales out of school,
yeah.
I think it's ascribed to Lincoln, but maybe it's probably not Lincoln. Success or money doesn't change a man; it reveals him, right? Mm. Is that ever been more true than with Tony Victory? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's just like a revealing thing. Like money was the. Was the thing that you rub on the invisible ink and you're like, oh, right. No, I hate this message. Oh, no. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was a shithead before he had money.
That's what I'm saying. Shithead it just reveals,
Yeah, right. That's true.
What do you think? What do you think money would reveal about me?
About you.
Would I still like to
terrible sleep? Terrible
style. Would I still like to sleep no bed frame? Or?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what you would... You would spend a lot of money on clothes, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like clothes. Those were expensive shoes you had last week, and those are expensive pants. I think you would. Oh yeah, yeah. You were a little bit into clothing.
You think so?
Well, I mean, I'm not going just off myself. You will comment on lots of people's clothes.
True. Mm.
I'm pretty sure I remember on end of year tour you commenting on at least two members of the band's clothes, and them looking at you. What the fuck are you talking about, dude? Look at what you're wearing.
Oh, like where I said, like, you guys look like fucking bums?
Yes, shit like
that. You know what? I did compliment a dude the other day. I said, that's a really nice jacket.
You care about clothing.
But
I saw a really nice, I guess, the Canadian Goose fucking jackets. A vegan alternative, Woolix or something like that.
Ooh.
Looked really cool. I wanted to see about them sponsoring us because these $700 jackets looked awesome.
I don't think I'm telling anybody's secrets here. Dave Sausage. Huge jacket guy.
Oh yeah, great jackets.
Holy fuck!
Yeah, lives the lifestyle. Got it.
I can't believe you told his secret.
His dark secret. I'm sorry, Dave.
His outerwear.
He's like into outerwear.
So do you see this? This dude would be into fucking clothes.
Nah. He'd be way into outerwear. Nah. Be like, oh, Sausage, do you think that jacket's nice? Check this out, Ferrari.
I was thinking I would like to get a haircut, like as we talked about, haircut every 2 weeks plus little Manny. Little Manny.
No petty?
No petty.
What was the deal with your fucking skincare shit you got in the mail?
So I've dated women who care so much about their skin,
yes.
And as a result, they don't age. They look great. There's pretty skin. But I've never considered it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, I'll look like Benicio Del Toro. It'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
The other day I was like, you know what?
I look like Guillermo del Toro. Get me some fucking, get me some astringent. All right, got it.
I said, how much is this shit really?
Uh-huh.
Right? You can set yourself up with like a lot of decent skincare for $50 if you really try.
Okay.
But you can't do like that 12-step Korean shit where you fucking it's, fucking 1500 just to fucking...
step through the doors of the opportunity.
But yeah, that's my new skincare shit is once a week doing whatever that glycolic peel or whatever the fuck. And then,
all right, report back.
Klobuchar.
We'll hear about it. Klobuchar.
And then using that moisturizer that all the women say is the shit.
Is the shit. We'll go to Glossier next week. All right.
But, okay. Yeah. All right.
Tom,
put it on the tape. Yes.
What do we got? What records would you say you could see from this year being something you revisit years down the line?
Hardcore in 2019.
Because we said, Mind Force Excalibur, damn.
Yeah.
The Fiddlehead record, damn.
Yeah.
Turnstile record, damn.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, yo, there's a Kulu song. So there's only five of them, but okay, damn.
Yeah, I think it's tougher this year, sadly.
Yeah, I said One Step Closer is a maybe. Like, I think that's a very, very good record by a band who, has plans to do more. And, like, I believe that people who are around, like, people their age in the hardcore are going to look at that and go, damn, that was a fucking track. That was a great record,
Right, right. I mean, I was thinking, like, I mean, it's also personal, so it's weird. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, sure, maybe the Restraining Order LP or, okay. like, that Knocked Loose record.
Yeah.
But, like, 5 years from now, I'm going to be an older gentleman.
Oh, so you're thinking about your relation to things.
That's yeah, and I'm like, question. Am I going to fucking put on Knocked Loose when I'm almost 50?
Right, that's a good question.
You know what I mean? And no shade, you know, no shade to any of those. But I'm trying to think, like Ceremony makes sense because it's like, this record will grow with me.
Right.
And I wouldn't be a weirdo being 43 listening to this, like, Gary Numan shit.
Well, and that was the thing to me, too. When I was talking about this, I was like, the Glitterer record made my list. Ceremony was my honorable mention. But they're the two among the stuff I was thinking about. And the Berries LP on Run for Cover, a non-hardcore record, so let's put it there, that I was like, oh, these are all records I could see myself sitting with and really revisiting. But for hardcore stuff, it's got to be creme de la creme. It's got to be the top of the fucking pops. And that's where I put shit like Mind Force Excalibur or the Fiddlehead LP.
Yeah,
know, or
yeah.
Turnstile. The One Step Closer record is probably the closest this year outside of Akulu.
I can't speak to the One Step Closer release. Yep.
Yeah, what do you got? What do you think?
I don't know. I was just reminded of an anecdote because we were talking about aging. And somebody hit me the other day and said, you make more sense to me now that I've seen Slapshot. They just recently saw Slapshot and said, the way that you attempt to do what you do
right.
makes more sense to me now. Also, I said, oh, how were they? And he said, shockingly good. And
right.
I've seen Slapshot be great. And I've
seen them be terrible.
And too. I've seen them be ass.
Yep.
And I'm glad that this kid saw them on a good night. On a day where they ruled. But it got me thinking, would I want to be Choke? How old do you reckon Choke is?
55.
Yeah, I would say.
Oh, probably. Really? We're giving him 55?
Do he's older?
No, I was going to say maybe a little bit
if
younger.
Ian's 57.
Okay, so...
Right, I mean, think about it.
Okay, so you guys can speak hypothetically. I'm going to use real names, but you guys don't have to attach yourself if I'm going to be disrespecting anybody, all right?
Oh, boy.
Would you rather be Choke or would you rather be Al Braille?
Choke.
Choke.
Me too. And why is that for you guys? I think being actively involved, even if you are 55 on a stage and maybe not always flattering, maybe not always flattering, but... So, like I've seen Choke fucking truly enjoy himself on stage as an old man.
He looks like he's enjoying his life.
Yes.
And I don't know what Al Baril's doing.
No, okay, he might. I mean, but, you know. He might enjoy every day of his life too. But he looks like a cranky old fuck. And
yes, that's true.
And look, we should point out that there's plenty of guys we know who love being cranky old fucks.
That's and it's like, crazy to be saying that Choke is the not cranky old fuck. Here.
That is crazy. But I guess here's what I'm saying is, I want to like. Somebody might look at Choke and be like, yo, this motherfucker's passed his sell-by date. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, but, yo, to me, he is past his sell-by date, and he's still fucking awesome. And when we're talking about the individual experience, like some hedonistic fucking relationship with the world where you want to be having a good time.
Right.
Yep.
I'm with it.
I mean, have you seen him? He's fucking jacked.
Yeah, no, he's looking pretty good.
Really good shape.
He's looking pretty good.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Super intimidating. Like, looking fuck pretty good. That, man. Yeah, tell him that he's washed. See how that works out for you.
At this point, he might just laugh at you. I don't think, you know.
No, but I mean, I wouldn't want to fucking take a punch from the guy.
No, certainly not. But I don't know. I think about this stuff a lot because when you said like.
Yo, like real quick question thing. I was looking for Choke's age.
Yep.
Found an interview with him from 1999 where he quite openly talks on the, like, yeah, I work for Vidal Sassoon. I'm sort of a hairdresser. No, nonchalant. And then drops, oh, what kind of music do you listen to? Drum and bass.
Yep. I've read this interview.
Yeah. Wild.
Drum and bass. Does he go on? Is this the interview where he goes on to say, I love drum and bass, but going to those events makes me so irritable because people bump into me?
Correct, yes. Yes.
Straight edge, right?
To the best of my knowledge.
Yeah.
In the way that old men are. You know
yeah,
what
in
I mean?
The way like, that you're like, I'm an old man. I can barely think about this. Yes, yeah. I don't trigger do drugs. Yes, I'm straight edge.
But I guess what I'm saying is like, that aging in music question is a fascinating one to me. And to some of our listeners, the idea of being 30 is incomprehensible. You know what I mean? We've got such a fucking broad swath of listeners from age groups, et cetera, et cetera. But being 50 and on stage doesn't scare me or make me feel bad in the way that, I mean, I got a long time, everybody. But
not that long. It's closer to 50 than he is to 25.
That's a fact. But the
next year, 50.
Next year,
100 years old.
Next year, I'm 55. So, yeah. But the point is,
I'm moving into a 55 and over community. They take me. They take me to the stores.
Yo, 55 and up communities, no joke. They're cool.
Yeah, oh, I know. Really nice, dude.
Fuck it. If you could put me on one. So you guys talk about the Ocean Grove, right?
Yeah.
And I think I told you I stayed there a couple times, yeah, and I really liked place. It. Yeah. But that is the sort of place that I wouldn't mind being 55.
No.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I would get like a little like
bungalow.
A little bungalow, maybe a bike with three wheels. People could clown on me if they want.
Fuck,
you know what I mean?
I rode around on a fat bike. It was dope. Eat my dust.
Or am I? No,
ain't nobody mad at bikes. The only thing that happened with your three wheel is getting stolen.
Let me ask you a question.
And then someone from Asbury will watch it and be like, your bike gets stolen?
Yeah. I just saw it.
Cool. You didn't do anything about it.
Hold you on. Punk. I'm sorry to divert us so much. Not how long do you anticipate living?
Oh, okay.
But how long do you anticipate
14 more years.
Being functional?
14 more years.
Because my parents' generation, my father is 78.
Yeah.
And he's like, every day is a gift. He didn't expect to get to 78. You know what I mean? But if I don't get to 78, I'm going to be mad bitter.
You got cheated.
I'm going to be like, yeah, come on. I live real clean, motherfucker. What's up?
Well, that's what happens. We live clean. We're not going to live.
Nah, you
got to eat fucking steak with fucking cigarettes on them. And then you'll live to 100.
Those are the health secrets. You've
been
vegan?
Ones,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did look through the Cameo yesterday trying to find an old NBA player, old basketball player.
Who'd
to
you
do
find?
Cameo for Frank Kinlan.
Oh, that's a
I
nice
couldn't
gift.
Find one.
Yeah, I mean,
it'd be great.
Everybody keep them. When's this come out?
The week of Christmas, I think. Yeah.
Well, we'll find out.
It's
if
our 2 year anniversary, guys. 2 years to the date.
Is that true?
Almost, yeah.
Oh, I'm very happy to be doing
so
this.
So he goes to the board when?
Goes to the board. I think immediately after Christmas.
Fantastic.
It sucks though. It's after Christmas. Come
yeah.
On, man.
But I mean, he's not optimistic that he'll beat it because it's so fucking like. Oh, this motherfucker have a bad day?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so arbitrary.
Oh, God, it's like...
Yeah, it's a hard thing to think about those factors rolling in. All right, to the music of it, do you have anything on your list? That you think
I agree that the Akulu record, I think that Rule Them All could squeak into a Long Island legacy, like where Long Island is referencing that for a long time to come.
I agree.
I think that could totally be the case.
Can I say I think Rule Them All's best record is still in front of them?
Yes. I agree.
And that's why this record isn't something I think, because I think they're going to put a record out in the next 2 years that is the one that, if they can write one that will last, that's the one.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, but that's all I've got, really. Yeah. This year, as much as I liked a lot of records, and as much as I went good hardcore record.
Yeah. This was a quantity over quality year.
For sure.
And it's not that it was lower quality. It was just, it was good.
Not as many peaks.
Yeah.
I feel like this year, really, we were like a rap podcast. Where rap.
Check out this single, check out this single, check out this single.
They always go, good record. Mm-hmm. And then they never touch it again. It might play like they don't play fucking hardcore music at reputable dance clubs. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're hearing that out.
Mm-hmm.
The next time that we hear some like, Be All End All, you know what I mean? Like,
I know. Dominant Force.
Good hardcore record. You know when the next time I'll fucking hear that?
When you pull it up.
Well, yes. Or when I'm at maybe somebody's house that is not me. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's a strange thing.
Like, the Dead Heat, Certain Death LP. That's a good record. Really good record.
Now, wait, did I understand?
Never Ending Game, Just Another Day. Good record. Division of Mind LP. Good record.
Wait, walk me through this. Dead Heat have another record coming right now?
Yes. A new record's going to come out in Triple Bay in early 2012.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is.
That's early next year?
Yeah, it's sometime in, the first half of the year, something like that.
We haven't talked about it. What do we expect from that?
Dead Heat?
Yeah.
Musically, I'm very curious.
Me too.
Because
I have no doubt it'll be capable of all the bullshit.
Of course,
but it's
what direction do they go? Because that's now they're hitting the range of, where do you go with the sound?
Yeah.
You're now past your first LP. it's such an interesting threshold to cross of, okay, you kind of achieved what you wanted to do there, I guess, right? Whatever it was, you get it. Now where do you go? Do you, okay.
Let's sequel it?
Do you, and I mean, yo, for a record that I put on my top 10, Fury failed entertainment. I really liked it.
Where do they go?
Do they do another record? And it was from Paramount. There's a lot of people thinking, like, are they going to make a left turn? And I don't think they did, but I think they did a great record. Will I listen to that record in 5 years? I very well could. But immediately, I'm not sure that I would. Like, maybe Paramount's the Fury record.
Yeah, that's possible.
And I know that there's a part that's like, fuck. But that if you ask me what's better, failed entertainment or Paramount right now, I'm like, I'm not sure. I think they're both great, and I might lean and say failed entertainment's better.
That's interesting coming from you.
Right, but it might not be the record down the line.
Oh, well, we talked about this. Like, Tom and I both think that the last Twitching Tongues record was more special than it was given credit, but
100%.
It lives in the shadow.
What? Is it ever going to be In Love, There's No Law?
No.
Right. That's the problem.
No, if they put In Love out on Metal Blade, they'd be fucking...
Let's circle this back. The touche question... Can their fifth record be their best record?
Can it be the best record?
It can be the best record.
For sure.
Can it be a record
that
brings... Can it be a record that brings... Can it be the most popular? Can it be a record that brings new people? Like, the answer is yes.
Yeah, it all depends.
And the example is Bane.
Oh, interesting.
Wow.
You're citing what? Give Blood?
Give Blood. Even The Note has its... The Note has its fans.
I mean, okay. So fucking the last record has its fans.
Yes, yeah, it does.
It does.
And there's people who argue, what's the song off the last record?
Calling Hours.
There's people who are like, and people who are diehard fans who are like, oh, that's one of their best songs.
Oh, 100%. I agree.
I just pulled anecdotal.
Yeah.
Just pulled a 26-year-old. I said, state your age and one record from this year that you believe has staying power.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, 26. Hardcore is real into releasing incredibly forgettable material right now. Now, that's a little harsher than I'd put it, because yes. I think some of this, like I said...
Is that Brian?
It is. A lot of this...
It's like he's your
Brian.
Go-to.
Love Brian.
He is my go-to, although he's not young anymore. 26? No. What are we fucking talking about?
That's
I remember
young.
When he was
Still
fucking
young.
A kid. Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry to interrupt you. Here's what I think. And okay, so you brought up some good hardcore examples. I was going to say...
It just hit me, and it's like, oh, or, I mean, let's say Sick of It All.
Sick of It All, for sure.
Built to Last, Scratch the Surface. There's a generation of people who came in on that, not Blood Sweat.
It's interesting. Built to Last is an interesting one to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not... I wonder if there's a Yours Truly kid out there. Anyway.
I don't think so on a Yours Truly kid.
But...
I think there's anybody after... Well...
But so here's what I'm saying. There's plenty of bands... Like when who is the band that sounds like it's not unusual to be loved by anyone?
Tom Jones.
Yeah,
we played them a listening
not
party.
Not literally Tom Jones, but didn't you say that there was some indie act we were talking about that sounds like Tom?
Foreign Islands.
Yes.
Something Islands. Yeah, it is.
Something Islands. Foreign Islands.
Not
was,
Foreign Islands.
Was Mark Ryan's like attempt?
Yeah. What was it?
Islands. I'll be waiting for you.
Okay.
Future Islands.
Okay. So check that out. So they've been around for a long time. This was their breakthrough record last year, 2 years ago, whatever it was, 2 years ago.
That, yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think I was in Europe when it was happening, so whatever. Say 2-3 years ago. Okay, so around for a lot of records. But that broke through to me, who had no knowledge of their previous material.
Before,
so my question is, something like Touche or something like Ceremony, can it break through into hardcore kids? I don't think so. Can it break through to somebody who has never heard hardcore in their life?
100%.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting thing.
Sense.
That might be where you break through. You know what I mean? Like, sure. As far as like, oh, this is late in my career. I did put out the best record of my life. But the people that cared were the people that were willing to listen to it with
open ears.
A fresh ear. Yeah.
That's fair.
So I think that might be.
That's what you hope for when you're into the career.
I also.
Is this the first record since Stage 4?
Yes.
Yes.
One single between then and now, I think.
Right.
Yep. That came out last year.
Yep.
That came out this year.
This year. Yeah.
And, you know, like, think about this. Did you listen to it?
I did.
I did not.
I did. It was good.
And I heard it was good. Did you hear that?
I did.
You did?
I liked it.
So let me ask the question that we asked on our Twitter a while ago. Was this a good year for music? Yes, no, or eh? Tom, answer first.
I would say yes.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I think there was a lot of good stuff that I liked.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, 2018 might have had six records I loved.
Yep.
2019 might have had 14 records I liked.
Right. That's a great way to put it. Yes.
They're not equal. So I'd rather have records I love. I think we all would. That said, it's not nothing to have multiple records that you like. It's not nothing. That's nice.
That's yeah.
I think we all agree. Wow. What a cool launching pad we're in right now. You know what I mean? Like
it
what,
could get real good.
It could get so good.
Yeah.
But are we in the nascent beginning stages of...
Are we in the primordial ooze?
Yes, of a potentially golden era.
Yes.
I think maybe.
I agree. I think there's a lot of creativity and the people who are pointing... So my answer is yes. Despite the fact that we're like, man, I don't know what the long terms are. Because I feel like we're seeing a lot of the teases. We're seeing a lot of the little EPs and a little of this and a little of that. That's going to lead to some really great records. And I think there's a lot of younger folks making great music that their next record or their next band are going to be fucking massive. You see this in sports. There's changeover eras where it's like, oh, the old superstars are fading out and there's a new crop, but maybe they're not all there yet. And maybe that one superstar isn't even around yet. That sort of feels like where we are, but we still have some really high highs. Like, if I'm being really honest, think about 100 episodes ago. We talked about Code Orange. We talked about Turnstile. Talked about Power Trip. Who's our other fourth? I mean, Incendiary is right there, right? Yeah. Those are four bands that are all still around.
Right.
And make no mistake, hardcore at any time prior to the mid-2000s, bands lasting for more than 4 or 5 years, rare.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing bands with tenure. All those bands, Turnstile's been around, not 10 years, but getting close. Code Orange, not 10 years, but getting close. Power Trip, over 10 years.
Incendiary is over
10. Incendiary, over 10 years.
12 or 13.
Right.
There's. We should point out, there a lot of the bands that people are like, oh, what about this band that's got a lot of a long career? They broke up for 4 years, my G.
Right. Exactly. And so, yeah, you know, like, please, you know, don't take that. But those were four very, very, very popular bands. And they all are in different phases of where they were.
Yeah.
You know, and speaking plainly, I'd say Incendiary is in a similar place, but a little bigger. I would say that Turnstile is in a really different place. Kind of
hard to put a finger on. I have a difficult time gauging. I mean, it's all good.
Yeah,
you know,
Power Trip.
I see them on tour. They're doing good.
Yeah. Power Trip is, I think, bigger than they've ever been. And moving into the more like metal space and getting accepted by every classic metal person for the greatness that they are. And Code Orange is in a really different space. And I could venture to say, like, I don't know that they're as popular and hardcore as they were, but I don't know what the other worlds that they're entering into are like.
No,
so think about 2 years. You know, I think we're seeing a phase in and we've seen the rise of a bunch of bands. Yeah, we weren't talking about Mind Force like the way we've been talking about Mind Force for the last year, 2 years ago, you know?
Right,
and they were around.
Yeah.
Fiddlehead's been around since like 2014.
Right. And sometimes things go from a thing you like to a thing you admire. You know what I mean? And that's what a great record will do. And I don't know. This is going to get mushy because we're being mad positive now and optimistic.
Yeah.
But I'm with it. Like, I'm very hopeful. To me, it's going to, obviously, the tracks, as we talked about. Everybody needs tracks.
Good tracks, good tours.
I think personality is what I want from everybody. I go off on this a lot. I think that everybody needs to be more physical. I understand some years that's in, some years that's out.
Explain what you mean by be more physical.
There's a reason why most of us are not playing some of the music that the kids we grew up with are playing. It's because we like to jump off of things. Maybe we're delayed. Maybe there's an element of arrested development,
yeah.
Right? Entirely possible. And we've seen this be an ugly thing. Everybody listen, we get more gossip than you fucking understand. There's a lot of fucking people out here that their arrested development is a fucking problem.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's a fucking fact. Yes. Tom, real quick, let's talk about this thing that you and I talked about the other day.
Whoa.
Yeah, this is an intervention now.
I like your energy. I'm crashing.
Yeah, so
hold them out.
So everybody, it's 1 a.m. and Bob's got a long drive. Tom is hitting low sugar period. He's like, what is that? A chocolate bar?
Carly got me protein bars for a situation just like this when I didn't eat dinner.
Dinner. Jesus Christ.
Man, motherfucker, I worked to work.
Jesus Christ.
I got here and Bob was here. There was no dinner time.
Should have gotten some takeout, the Grubhub or some shit. Anyway, point is, you and I talked about the other day, let's not be hardcore lecturers. My life's not any better than anybody else's, right? But you and I were talking about how it's a disappointing thing that we don't hear, like, when we run into somebody that we've seen haven't seen for a while, it's rarely, I started a new business. You know what I mean? It's rarely I got my grad degree after a year. I had to pay for it myself, so it took me a long time to understand. And it's rarely, I don't want to brag, but I'm excited I'm up for an award. You know what I mean? It's always like
Larry beat the shit out of Joe last week. Yeah, I mean.
That's rough.
It's always like, yeah, I think I beat the charges.
right.
The moment you look around and go, what are we doing? What am I doing here?
Right.
Yeah, and I don't ever want, I mean, I catch myself saying that once in a while, and I don't ever want to, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to
be
that
dude. We got here, I mean, it was always like this.
Yeah.
But like, as we get older, you kind of have to be like.
I also, look, I'm the last guy. I don't even believe in the word community. I'm the last guy. But I just want to say that, like, we should be pushing each other artistically, but we should also be, whenever possible, attempting to elevate each other's station in this life. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like look, Bob, you've maintained relationships with people that you worked with at Revelation.
Sure.
As far as people in manufacturing, you know a ton of them for now. How many fucking years? You know what I mean?
Yes.
And these are all like now. Some of you may never need anything manufactured, but the point is that it's nice
to know a guy.
If this is our social outlet, I wish that more people would tell me about the great things going on in their life instead of losing an eye in a knife fight. Mm. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean,
who doesn't love though? Like when you're at work and you go, I mean, like I told you, we hired like a data person who was like a hardcore kid.
Oh yeah.
I never told you this?
No, I don't think so.
So I interviewed him. And I was like, he was cool. He was real nice, like whatever, super super smart. And then like I get an email from him like, hey, just really want to thank you, the afterwards follow-up email.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking the time to meet with me, blah, blah, blah. And he goes,
by the way.
Weird question. Are you Tom from Indecision? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I knew the name and I knew you looked familiar. Wow. And then I Googled you and then I figured out it was you. He's like, I'm a fellow hardcore kid. I was like, that's fucking awesome. He's from Cali.
That's awesome.
Like, he knew, like, Todd.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
We'll talk about off the air.
Funny you should say that. I followed a kid on Instagram.
I followed a kid.
I followed a kid. I admired his Oshkosh bagosh. No, so.
Like, are those kids with Velcro?
So, he paints miniatures.
Yep.
And I just followed him because I love dioramas and I love miniatures and shit. And he just hits me and he's like, "Oh, what's up, man? I've been a fan of your band for 15 years." And I was like, "Oh shit!" And
it's
then
nice.
And then Drug Church needed an album or a tour art for a tour that we're doing, and I just sent a bunch of people that I was following. And to the band and said, pick whichever one you like, guys, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? And manager reached out to the kid. Kid was like, would I like to do it? I'm a fucking Drug Church super fan. I'd love to do that shit. You know what I mean?
Are
you
going to do the miniatures?
No, different dude. Different guy. But what I'm saying is, that is such a nice, fun fucking thing. But and I guess here's what I'm getting at. If you're painting miniatures and we know each other in a social way, reach out to me because right now I got too many dudes in my life
who
don't paint miniatures, who paint houses, and I'm looking for the community. Give me the miniature life.
Don't Jimmy Hoffa me. Fucking get me a goddamn house.
So I don't know. That's kind of like a heavier topic that I've been thinking about a lot. Is like, hey, as kids we all loved the terved stories. You know what I mean? We all loved.
But you know what? In 2020. Let's do better. In life. Let's do better.
I mean, keep the terrible
hardcore
stories.
Hardcore is the coolest fucking thing. Tell the stories of the people that aren't around to tell them anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't fucking create new ones.
Don't create new ones at your own expense. Isn't that an interesting perspective? Bob, you got a kid. You probably see things through two lenses now.
Sure.
You know, you got peers and all that, just like, but then you also got like you talking to a fucking 18-year-old, you probably cannot help but see it through the lens that eventually your kid.
Oh, you mean because an 18-year-old's closer to the age of my child than me.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah. So like, it's an interesting perspective that now when you see an 18-year-old, it's like, oh, good news. I pledged a biker gang and I think I'm going to kill somebody this weekend. And you're like, right. Oh, no.
Do this, kid. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's like, so much more to life.
Don't do that.
Well, yeah. Right.
Whereas if I, like, at fucking 25, I'd be like, good luck.
Well, you know, it's the difference in the idea. And I mean, you know, here's the line. It's that ain't nobody in this room want to be your parent.
Not at all.
No.
And tell you. But like, maybe the brother. Decisions you're making, the stuff that you might think is romantic or you think is cool. I think about it a lot because I see certain things. I see artwork for bands that, like, yo, man, there's a part of me that feels like a hypocrite because I'm like, yo, this artwork with a dude beheading another dude, fucking sick. But then the artwork that's like a dude holding a gun looking stupid, I'm like, I don't really like that.
Yeah, you don't feel that energy.
I just think it's almost too close.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Too close. I just think it's like, so, I mean,
samurai sword versus gun is definitely
right.
Like,
right.
Yeah,
it's like, and but you know, like to me, I'm reading The Punisher as quickly as I'm picking up a fucking Shang-Chi book.
You check that new Garth Ennis?
No.
Any hot.
Good? Really?
Okay. Hot. You good. Still got it.
I will. I'll check it. So, but for some reason in hardcore, I feel like maybe it's just because there's been too many people with guns.
Yeah.
Like literally at shows and shit, you know? But so, at the end of the day, I'm not trying to be anybody's parents except my sons. You know, that's my partner. That's people I know. Like, do your life, but my recommendation in it all is don't make it romantic. Don't try to romanticize some shit that, like, seems fucking stupid.
See,
know?
It's not just that for me. It's also like my personal interaction with you. Like I still
am a little tapped out on that. And I don't, like, I guess I don't get a ton of that. I don't get a ton of people trying to tell me they're sorry because it's so, so uninteresting to me. Like there's those great stories, the classic
sure.
old stories. But like, even at that, it's like, okay.
Yeah, see, I realize I'm talking to the wrong guy. You've never liked this energy. This is not like a thing that excites you at all. But
no.
But I'm just saying that like...
Yeah, like
yeah,
you use the word...
Tom and I can be guilty
of
this.
But you guys use the word excite. This stuff excites you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm you know, I love lore. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, lore like, is one thing, like, you know, but...
But, oh no, a kid talking to me about fucking some shit that's going to land him in jail doesn't excite me at all. I'm always like, oh,
no,
kid.
But the story's like, oh shit, they like,
yeah.
They fist fought on a moving train, like in
well, so
on the way to CDs. That's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
And that's the thing, like, you know, oh, the sheer terror Cro-Mag stories, the fucking
yeah.
right.
City Gardens bathroom stories, these kind of things. Like it's like it feels removed till you realize that it's really not that far removed. When you realize, wait a second, that's that dude right over there.
Yeah.
And like, and as a kid, that's the difference to me, is there's the nostalgia of thinking when I was a kid, like, oh, wow, listen to these legends, to now being an adult and hearing it and go, okay, oh, that's real, and there's that guy right over there. And to be honest, that dude's not much of a legend to me.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, I totally get that. Yeah, of course.
And like, the people I respect are the people who it's like, oh shit, that dude does this and this. Can you fucking believe that? Yeah. Oh man, he's like makes and creates or does something admirable with his life.
Yeah.
And,
well,
know, and it's
listen,
hard. Because, yo, there's an excitement. Like, you used a good word, excitement.
Mm.
And that's the thing I question is the idea of physical violence being an exciting factor. And it's, you know, physicality in hardcore has always been a hand in hand thing. But where is it that you think that comes from?
Well, for
fucked up, disenfranchised kids, right? Like
it's also like traditionally, not anymore necessarily, but traditionally you're talking about people that are at the peak of their fucking social hormone problem. You know what I mean?
Like, well, so, and I also think there's a connection between the idea of fighting back against the world and also like quite actually fighting back. And I think it comes from people feeling cornered or feeling bullied and kind of going back.
And then there's just asshole flexors.
Marginalized. And then people being assholes.
They take advantage of that.
Right. Yeah. Because when it's a bunch of small mice who've been forced out of the big mouse pond, once it's all just small mice, they start saying, well, who's the biggest one in here?
Right.
Right.
You know, and that's the wrong energy.
Right. Deuce that, you know, bros that come like, hey, you know, kids punching each other in the face. I'm going to punch somebody in the face.
Yep.
And they get brained.
I guess as this ties into what I was saying, I guess, like, I want personality. I want more artistry. Kids being less afraid of... Basically, I think that there might
have been... I think we're seeing some of that stuff, yeah.
I agree. But I think there might have been a couple years where, like, sticking your head out felt like... this is where I sound a fucking 100. I blame social media. You stick your head up and you get hammered down. You know what I mean? That's just what it is. Like,
an immediate fucking repudiation.
Yeah. And
it's like nobody wants that shit.
Right. And it feels like social death, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could avoid a fucking shitty review in fucking Maximum Rock and Roll when everyone on Twitter is fucking making fun of you.
Yes.
Kind of hard to avoid.
So I think that might have killed some of the personality energy is like, hey, I don't want to deal with this. Like, I don't want somebody like writing my little sister on Twitter and being like you know,
yeah,
what
your
I mean?
Brother's
like,
an asshole.
Well, I mean, let's put this one. You said a thing that rubbed somebody the wrong way, and they thought you were putting a group in a place. So then that person basically added every single news outlet they could.
Yep, and every business associate I have,
trying to get this dude canceled. And had other people involved as well, trying to like come at the dude for what really amounted to like not even like even calling it innocuous feels weird. It was just like,
but look, I can be a self-critic by almost any measure. This was a harmless statement. Yes. Like this was an like this is me being self-aware. Everyone, this was a really intense overreaction on this person's part,
and the intensity of the overreaction led to this person trying to single-handedly make this a huge story and deal and ruin opportunities for a person.
And cancel killing.
Yeah, like...
And it was years ago. Like, it's probably 3 years ago.
And
this was
before cancel culture was in full swing, but this person truly...
Went through every motion of it.
Yeah, like really tried to take everything away from me, which is a weird vibe. I wonder if I confronted that person now and said, hey, were you...
Do you remember?
Do you remember that I'm a human being and you were literally trying to ruin my future moving forward? Is that a thing that you're comfortable with?
Yeah.
I'd be curious if their response would be, hey, I'm really sorry I was caught up in a thing. I still don't necessarily approve of what you said. But
or LOL, whatever. You know what I mean? Right?
You know what? Okay, so there's an expression. It's a terrible quote that is upsetting.
Let's hear it.
Forgiveness is the scent the flower leaves on the boot that crushed it. And that is that is a terrible idea. Yep. Like a terrible idea, but it's somewhat true, which is like when you forgive somebody, like as Charlemagne the God says, you only forgive people when you're not going to do shit. Yes. You know what I mean? And that's a sick idea, but it's also somewhat true. When you're ready to let go of something, it's basically you saying, go succeed, go with God, make yourself happy. Please leave me alone. You know what I mean? Like, I'm happy for you. Move on with your life, which is a hard thing. By the way, if any of you are listening who has feel wronged by somebody, like I've felt like very personally wronged by a couple of people who are all doing well. And a lot of people find that very hard to deal with. Art Tebow, I always say Thiebert, but that's not how you say
Art
his name.
Thiebert,
you remember the inker? Recently, sorry everybody, this is torture for Tom.
Yeah.
He recently did a live stream where he explained why he hasn't worked for Marvel for almost 20 years.
Jesus.
And it's the saddest thing in the world because it was essentially a personal grievance with an executive above his station who he thinks maliciously held on. And then he also blames Joe Quesada because when he went to Quesada and said, I want to work again, man, what's going on? Quesada said, just apologize to Dave and we'll be done with this.
Yeah.
And Art said, I'm not apologizing for something I didn't do.
Yeah.
And Joe says,
well,
it's got nothing to do with nothing. Yep. Just apologize. Now, right. I feel that.
This is the same shit that came out about Kevin Durant with some reporter who was like, yo, that shit, the team was like, yeah, you just got to apologize to him. And he's like, but I didn't do anything. And like,
that's cool.
The rest of the players are like, yeah, that's funny. Whatever. You just got to apologize to him.
Yeah, listen.
That's all it takes.
And smart people do. You know what I mean? Smart people
know the value and the cost of saying, yeah, I'm sorry.
But me and Art, stupid. You know what I mean? Like, so I got a problem with that. But the point is that it's painful to watch somebody that you feel like is a bad person, et cetera, blah, 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 succeed. It's painful. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, a lot of times, the happier they are with their life, the less they're fucking you. You know what I mean? So right. So you got to be happy to let them go on some level and go succeed. Your success doesn't necessarily cost me shit. But anyway, the point is that on the social thing, I think that a lot of kids are literally grown up afraid of sticking their head up. They're okay for taking a shot from cover. You know what I mean? Like that, because that's what the internet is. It's taking a shot from cover.
Well,
but I think that once you have personality plus, once you're visible, once you have said, hey, I'm a thing, people want to disassemble the thing.
Turnstile is a band and it's artists have personality plus.
Personality plus, but you'll notice they don't do a ton of interviews or put their face out there as like a, hey.
And they certainly aren't on social media in a way that's like, hey, let's engage.
Or even on stage, mm-hmm. Brendan is a great frontman.
Great.
He is not
a great communicator.
He's not a chatty guy. You know what I mean? He's not out there fucking like, hey, what's up, fam?
I'm giving a sermon, right.
I'm going to give you a political opinion that you can then judge me on and take in the wrong spirit no matter what I do. He's not doing that because he's got a brain in his head.
Yeah. Because he doesn't want to engage. And that's what's happening is that smart people are refusing to engage.
I know.
And that's an ugly thing for the world because the people who are engaging are now dumb.
I'm an idiot dinosaur because I engage too fucking much. And I just provide people over and over again. Well, I provide them these fucking shots.
There's the theory that people who have an IQ over a certain level and people who have an IQ under a certain level are all safe. It's the people in the middle who are having the bickering.
I mean, I probably got the most standard IQ in the world. You don't bicker.
I've been IQ tested.
Me no bitter.
But...
Me no bicker.
Me no bicker. But I don't know. I think I've talked about it a lot. I really think that social media has scared a generation of hardcore bands into not putting personality front. And I'm not talking about Turnstile.
Well, it's unfortunate because it's also taught an entire generation of people to put personality in front of everything.
Brand in front of everything. Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure.
Well, personality as brand and then brand as whole. Yeah. I don't want to do the social media.
Nah, we don't got it. We're
old white dudes.
Yeah, we don't got it. But I
watch Bill Belichick and fucking, who's that? Nick Saban do an interview where they're talking about social media. And I was like, no.
Bill Belichick might not know how to work a phone. How old is Bill Belichick right now?
60-something.
Oh, that's 87, it?
89. Yeah. Anywhere between 42.
Six Super Bowl rings. Yeah.
I would have guessed 70 if he's a day, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, I'd say 67 if I was guessing.
But
let's see.
At any rate, I don't know. I need more personality. I also need more people that are trying to achieve things. Sorry.
Man, you needy today.
I'm a very needy guy, and I came to hardcore because hardcore provides me so much. Everybody supply me with my shit.
Okay, good, nice.
Give me what I need. Give me what I need.
And you say he's just a friend.
We talk about justice all the time. Give me 100 justices that aren't doing justice.
Keep singing.
You know what I mean?
Oh, baby, you.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Got a disease.
Oh no! Which one?
So the verdict
and you
is
gave
hardcore
it
in
to my friend,
good.
And he can't
Thanks
have
for joining
sex
us. This
again.
Was
oh, baby.
I'm saying
yeah,
it's all right. Goodbye, everybody. Here's to another 100 episodes. Thank you so much for your continued listening.
Bye.